Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of The Sunset Limited, a novel in dramatic form by Cormac McCarthy. Narrated by Austin Pendleton as the voice of White and Ezra Knight as the voice of Black. And directed by Andy Paris. This is a room in a tenement building in a black ghetto in New York City. There's a kitchen with a stove and a large refrigerator, a door to the outer hallway, and another, presumably to a bedroom. The hallway door is fitted with a bizarre collection of locks and bars. There's a cheap Formica table in the room and two chrome and plastic chairs. There's a drawer in the table. On the table is a Bible and a newspaper, a pair of glasses, a pad and pencil. A large black man is sitting in one chair, stage right, and in the other, a middle-aged white man dressed in running pants and athletic shoes. He wears a t-shirt, and the jacket, which matches the pants, hangs on the chair behind him.
So what am I supposed to do with you, Professor?
Why are you supposed to do anything?
I done told you. This ain't none of my doing. I left out of here this morning to go to work. You wasn't no part of my plans at all. But here you is.
It doesn't mean anything. Everything that happens doesn't mean something else.
Mm-hmm. It don't.
No, it doesn't.
What's it mean, then?
It doesn't mean anything. You run into people and maybe some of them are in trouble or whatever, but it doesn't mean that you're responsible for them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, people who are always looking out for perfect strangers are very often people who won't look out for the ones they're supposed to look out for, in my opinion. If you're just doing what you're supposed to, then you don't get to be a hero.
And that would be me.
I don't know. Would it?
Well, I can see how there might be some truth in that. But in this particular case, I might say I sure didn't know what sort of person I was supposed to be on the lookout for or what I was supposed to do when I found him. In this particular case, there wasn't but one thing to go by.
And that was?
That was that there he is, standing there. And I can look at him and I can say, well, he don't look like my brother. But there he is. Maybe I better look again.
And that's what you did.
Well, you was kind of hard to ignore. I got to say that your approach was pretty direct.
I didn't approach you. I didn't even see you.
Mm-hmm.
I should go. I'm beginning to get on your nerves.
No, you ain't. Don't pay no attention to me. You seem like a sweet man, Professor. I reckon what I don't understand is, how come you to get yourself in such a fix?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Did you sleep last night?
No.
When did you decide that today was the day? Was there something special about it?
No. Well, today is my birthday, but I certainly don't regard that as special.
Well, happy birthday, Professor.
Thank you.
So you seen your birthday was coming up and that seemed like the right day.
Who knows? Maybe birthdays are dangerous, like Christmas, ornaments hanging from the trees, wreaths from the doors, and bodies from the steam pipes all over America.
Mm. Don't say much for Christmas, does it?
Christmas is not what it used to be.
I believe that to be a true statement. I surely do.
I've got to go.
He gets up and takes his jacket off the back of the chair and lifts it over his shoulders and then puts his arms in the sleeves, rather than putting his arms in first, one at a time.
You always put your coat on like that?
What's wrong with the way I put my coat on?
I didn't say there was nothing wrong with it. I just wondered if that was your regular method.
I don't have a regular method. I just put it on.
Mm-hmm.
It's what, effeminate?
Mm.
What?
Nothing. I'm just sitting here studying the ways of professors.
Yeah, well, I've got to go.
Well, let me get my coat.
Your coat?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Going with you.
What do you mean, going with me where?
Going with you wherever you're going.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
I'm going home.
All right.
All right. You're not going home with me.
Sure I am. Let me get my coat.
You can't go home with me.
Why not?
You can't.
What? You can go home with me, but I can't go home with you?
No. I mean, no, that's not it. I just need to go home.
You live in an apartment?
Yes.
What, they don't let black folks in there?
No. I mean, of course they do. Look, no more jokes. I've got to go. I'm very tired.
Well, I just hope we don't run into no hassle about you getting me in there.
You're serious?
Oh, I think you know I'm serious.
You can't be serious.
I'm as serious as a heart attack.
Why are you doing this?
Me? I ain't got no choice in the matter.
Of course you have a choice.
No, I ain't.
Who appointed you my guardian angel?
Let me get my coat.
Answer the question.
You know who appointed me. I didn't ask for you to leap into my arms down in the subway this morning.
I didn't leap into your arms.
You didn't.
No, I didn't.
Well, how did you get there then?
The professor stands with his head lowered. He looks at the chair and then turns and goes and sits down in it.
What? Now we ain't going?
You really think that Jesus is in this room?
No, I don't think he's in this room.
You don't?
I know he's in this room.
The professor folds his hands at the table and lowers his head. The black pulls out the other chair and sits again.
It's the way you put it, Professor. Be like me asking you, do you think you got your coat on? You see what I'm saying?
It's not the same thing. It's a matter of agreement. If you and I say that I have my coat on and Cecil says that I'm naked and I have green skin and a tail, then we might want to think about where we should put Cecil so that he won't hurt himself.
Who's Cecil?
He's not anybody. He's just a hypothetical. There's not any Cecil. He's just a person I made up to illustrate a point.
Made up?
Yes.
Hmm.
We're not going to get into this again, are we? It's not the same thing, the fact that I made Cecil up.
But you did make him up.
Yes.
And his view of things don't count.
No. That's why I made him up. I could have changed it around. I could have made you the one that didn't think I was wearing a coat.
And was green and all that shit you said.
Yes.
But you didn't.
No.
You loaded it off on Cecil.
Yes.
But Cecil can't defend himself because the fact that he ain't in agreement with everybody else makes his word no good. I mean, aside from the fact that you made him up and he's green and everything.
He's not the one who's green. I am. Where is this going?
I'm just trying to find out about Cecil.
I don't think so. Can you see Jesus?
No, I can't see him.
But you talk to him.
I don't miss a day.
And he talks to you?
He has talked to me, yes.
Do you hear him, like, out loud?
Not out loud. I don't hear a voice. I don't hear my own, for that matter. But I have heard him.
Well, why couldn't Jesus just be in your head?
He is in my head.
Well, I don't understand what it is that you're trying to tell me.
I know you don't, honey. Look, the first thing you got to understand is that I ain't got an original thought in my head. If it ain't got the lingering scent of divinity to it, then I ain't interested.
The lingering scent of divinity.
Yeah. You like that?
It's not bad.
I heard it on the radio. Black preacher. But the point is, I done tried it the other way. And I don't mean chippy neither. Running blindfold through the woods with the bit between your teeth. Oh, man. Didn't I try it, though? If you can find a soul that give it a better shot than me, I'd like to meet him. I surely would. And what do you reckon it got me?
I don't know. What did it get you?
Death in life. That's what it got me.
Death in life.
Yeah. Walking around death, too dead to even know enough to lay down.
I see.
I don't think so. But let me ask you this question.
All right.
Have you ever read this book?
I've read parts of it. I've read in it.
Have you ever read it?
I read the book of Job.
Have you ever read it?
No.
But you've read a lot of books.
Yes.
How many would you say you read?
I've no idea.
Ballpark.
I don't know, 2 a week, maybe? 100 a year for close to 40 years?
The black takes up his pencil and licks it and falls to squinting at his pad, adding numbers laboriously, his tongue in the corner of his mouth, one hand on his head.
40 times 100 is 4,000.
I'm just messing with you, Professor. Give me a number, any number you like, and I'll give you 40 times it back.
26.
1,040.
118.
4,720.
4,720?
Yeah.
The answer is the question.
Say what?
That's your new number.
4,720?
Yes.
That's a big number, Professor.
Yes, it is.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
It's 188,800.
Let me have that.
The black slides the pad and pencil across the table. The professor does the figures and looks at them and looks at the black. He slides the pencil and paper back across the table and sits back.
How do you do that?
Numbers is the black man's friend. butter and eggs, crap table. You're quick with numbers, you can put the mojo on your brother. Confiscate the contents of his pocketbook. You get a lot of time to practice that shit in the jailhouse.
I see.
But let's get back to all them books you done read. You think maybe you read 4,000 books?
Probably, maybe more than that.
But you ain't read this one.
No, not the whole book, no.
Why is that?
I don't know.
What would you say is the best book that ever was wrote?
I have no idea.
Take a shot.
There are a lot of good books.
Well, pick one.
Maybe War and Peace.
All right. You think that's a better book than this one?
I don't know. They're different kinds of books.
This War and Peace book, that's a book that somebody made up, right?
Well, yes.
So is that how it's different from this book?
Not really. In my view, they're both made up.
Ain't neither one of them true.
Not in the historical sense, no.
So what would be a true book?
I suppose maybe a history book. Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire might be one. At least the events would be actual events. They would be things that had happened.
Mm-hmm. You think that book is as good a book as this book here?
The Bible?
The Bible.
I don't know. Gibbon is a cornerstone. It's a major book.
And a true book. Don't forget that.
And a true book, yes.
But is it as good a book?
I don't know. I don't know as you can make a comparison. You're talking about apples and pears.
No, we ain't talking about no apples and pears, Professor. We're talking about books. Is that Decline and Fall book as good a book as this book here? Answer the question.
I might have to say no.
It's more true, but it ain't as good.
If you like.
It ain't what I like. It's what you said.
All right.
It used to say here on the cover before it got wore off, the greatest book ever written. You think that might be true?
It might.
You read good books?
I try to, yes.
But not the best book. Why is that?
I need to go.
You don't need to go, Professor. Stay here and visit with me.
You're afraid I'll go back to the train station?
You might. Just stay with me.
What if I promised I wouldn't?
You might anyways.
Don't you have to go to work?
I was on my way to work.
A funny thing happened to you on your way to work.
Yes, it did.
Will they fire you?
No, they ain't gonna fire me.
You could call in.
I ain't got a phone. Anyways, they know if I ain't there, I ain't coming. I ain't a late sort of person.
Why don't you have a phone?
I don't need one. The junkies would steal it anyway.
You could get a cheap one.
You can't get too cheap for a junkie. But let's get back to you.
Let's stick with you for a minute.
All right.
Can I ask you something?
Sure you can.
Where were you standing? I never saw you.
You mean when you took your amazing leap?
Yes.
I was on the platform.
On the platform?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see you.
I was just standing there on the platform, minding my own business. And here you come, hauling ass.
I looked all around to make sure there was no one there, particularly no children. There was nobody around.
Nope, just me.
Well, I don't know where you could have been.
Professor, you're fixing to get spooky on me now. Maybe I was behind a post or something.
There wasn't any post.
So what are we saying here? You looking at some big black angel got sent down here to grab your honky ass out the air at the last possible minute and save you from destruction?
No, I don't think that.
Such a thing ain't possible.
No, it isn't.
Well, you the one suggested it.
I didn't suggest any such thing. You're the one put in the stuff about angels. I never said anything about angels. I don't believe in angels.
What is it you believe in?
A lot of things.
All right.
All right, what?
All right, what things?
I believe in things.
You said that.
Probably I don't believe in a lot of things that I used to believe in, but that doesn't mean I don't believe in anything.
Well, give me a for instance.
Mostly the value of things.
Value of things.
Yes.
Okay, what things?
Lots of things. Cultural things, for instance. Books and music and art, things like that.
All right.
Those are the kinds of things that have value to me. They're the foundations of civilization. Or they used to have value. I suppose they don't have so much anymore.
What happened to them?
People stopped valuing them. I stopped valuing them to a certain extent. I'm not sure I could tell you why. That world is largely gone. Soon it will be wholly gone.
I ain't sure I'm following you, Professor.
There's nothing to follow. It's all right. The things that I loved were very frail, very fragile. I didn't know that. I thought they were indestructible. They weren't.
And that's what sent you off the edge of the platform. It wasn't nothing personal.
It is personal. That's what an education does. It makes the world personal. What?
Well, I was just thinking of them as some pretty powerful words. I don't know that I got an answer about any of that, and it might be that there ain't no answer. But still, I got to ask, What is the use of notions such as them if it won't keep you glued down to the platform when the Sunset Limited come through at 80 miles an hour?
Good question.
I thought so.
I don't have an answer to any of that either. Maybe it's not logical. I don't know. I don't care. I've been asked, didn't I think it odd that I should be present to witness the death of everything? And I do think it's odd, but that doesn't mean it's not so. Someone has to be here.
But you don't intend to stick around for it.
No, I don't.
So let me see if I got this straight. You're saying that all this culture stuff is all that ever was between you and the Sunset Limited?
It's a lot.
But it busted out on you.
Yes.
You a culture junkie.
If you like, or I was. Maybe you're right. Maybe I have no beliefs. I believe in the Sunset Limited.
Damn, Professor.
Damn, indeed.
No beliefs.
The things I believed in don't exist anymore. It's foolish to pretend that they do. Western civilization finally went up in smoke in the chimneys of Dachau. But I was too infatuated to see it. I see it now.
You were challenged, Professor. Did you know that?
Well, there's no reason for you to become involved in my problems. I should go.
You got any friends?
No.
You ain't got even one friend?
No.
You got to be kidding me, Professor. Not one.
Not really. No.
Well, tell me about that one.
What one?
The not really one.
I have a friend at the university, not a close friend. We have lunch from time to time.
But that's about as good as it gets.
What do you mean?
That's about all you got in the way of friends.
Yes.
Well, if that's the best friend you got, then I reckon that's your best friend, ain't it?
I don't know.
What did you do to him?
What did I do to him?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything to him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything to him. What makes you think I did something to him?
I don't know. Did you?
No. What is it you think I did to him?
I don't know. I'm waiting on you to tell me.
Well, there's nothing to tell.
But you didn't leave him no note or nothing when you decided to take the train.
No.
Your best friend?
He's not my best friend.
I thought we just got done deciding that he was.
You just got done deciding.
You ever tell him you was thinking about this?
No.
Damn, Professor.
Why should I?
I don't know. Maybe because he's your best friend?
I told you we're not all that close.
Not all that close.
No.
He's your best friend, only you ain't all that close.
If you like.
Not to where you want to bother him about a little thing like dying.
Look. Suppose I were to give you my word that I would just go home and that I wouldn't try to kill myself en route.
Suppose I was to give you my word that I wouldn't listen to none of your bullshit.
So what am I? A prisoner here?
You know better than that. Anyway, you was a prisoner before you got here. Death row prisoner. What did your daddy do?
What?
I said, what did your daddy do? What kind of work?
He was a lawyer.
Lawyer?
Yes.
What kind of law did he do?
He was a government lawyer. He didn't do criminal law or things like that.
Mm-hmm. What would be a thing like criminal law?
I don't know. Divorce law, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe you got a point. What did he die of?
Who said he was dead?
Is he dead?
Yes.
What did he die of?
Cancer.
Cancer. So he was sick for a while.
Yes, he was.
Did you go see him?
No.
How come?
I didn't want to.
Well, how come you didn't want to?
I don't know. I just didn't. Maybe I didn't want to remember him that way.
Bullshit. Did he ask you to come?
No.
But your mama did.
She may have. I don't remember.
Come on, Professor. She asked you to come.
Okay. Yes.
And what did you tell her?
I told her I would.
But you didn't?
No.
How come?
He died.
Yeah, but that ain't it. You had time to go see him and you didn't do it.
I suppose.
You waited. Till he was dead.
Okay, so I didn't go and see my father.
Your daddy is laying on his deathbed, dying of cancer. Your mama sitting there with him, holding his hand. He is in all kinds of pain. And they ask you to come see him one last time before he dies. And you tell him, no, you ain't coming. Please tell me I got some part of this wrong.
If that's the way you want to put it.
Well, how would you put it?
I don't know.
That's the way it is, ain't it?
I suppose.
No, you don't suppose. Is it? Or ain't it?
Yes.
Well, let me see if I can find my train schedule. See when the next Uptown Express is due.
He opens the table drawer and rummages through it.
I'm not sure I see the humor.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Professor. Because I ain't sure either. I just get more amazed by the minute, that's all. How come you can't see yourself, honey? Your plane is glass. I can see the wheels turning in there, the gears, and I can see the light, too. Good light. True light. Can't you see it?
No, I can't.
Well, bless you, brother. Bless you and keep you, 'cause it's there.
They sit.
When were you in the penitentiary?
Long time ago.
What were you in for?
Murder.
Really?
Now, who would claim to be a murderer that wasn't one?
You called it the jailhouse.
Yeah.
Do most blacks call the penitentiary the jailhouse?
No, just us old country nigga. We kind of make it a point to call things for what they is. I'd hate to guess how many names there is for the jailhouse. I'd hate to have to count them.
Do you have a lot of jailhouse stories?
Jailhouse stories?
Yes.
I don't know. I used to tell jailhouse stories some, but they kind of lost their charm. Maybe we ought to talk about something more cheerful.
Have you ever been married?
Married?
Yes.
Oh, man.
What?
Maybe we ought to take another look at them jailhouse stories. Oh, my.
Do you have any children?
No, Professor, I ain't got nobody. Everybody in my family is dead. I had two boys. They've been dead for years. Just about everybody I ever knowed is dead, far as that goes. You might want to think about that. I might be a hazard to your health.
You were always in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I was. I liked it. Maybe still do. I done 7 years hard time, and I was lucky not to have done a lot more. I hurt a lot of people. I'd smack them around a little, and then they wouldn't get up again.
But you don't get in trouble now.
No.
But you still like it.
Well, maybe I'm just condemned to it, bitten the ass by my own karma. But I'm on the other side now. You want to help people that's in trouble, you pretty much got to go where the trouble is at. You ain't got a lot of choice.
And you want to help people in trouble?
Yeah.
Why is that?
The black tilts his head and studies him.
You ain't ready for that.
How about just the short answer?
That is the short answer.
How long have you been here?
You mean in this building?
Yes.
6 years. 7, almost.
I don't understand why you live here.
As compared to where?
Anywhere.
Well, I'd say this pretty much is anywhere. I could live in another building, I reckon. This is all right. I got a bedroom where I can get away. Got a sofa yonder where people can crash. Junkies and crackheads mostly. Of course, they're going to carry off your portable, so I don't own nothing. And that's good. You hang out with the right crowd, and you'll finally get cured of just about every craving. They took the refrigerator one time, but somebody caught them on the stairs with it and made them bring it back up. Now I got that big sucker yonder, traded up. Only thing I miss is the music. I aim to get me a steel door for the bedroom. Then I could have me some music again. You got to get the door and the frame together. I'm working on that. I don't care nothing about television, but I miss that music.
You don't think this is a terrible place?
Terrible?
Yes.
What's terrible about it?
It's horrible. It's a horrible life.
Horrible life?
Yes.
Damn, Professor. This ain't a horrible life. What you talking about?
This place, it's a horrible place full of horrible people.
Oh, my.
You must know these people are not worth saving, even if they could be saved, which they can't. You must know that.
Well, I always like the challenge. I started a ministry in prison before I got out. Now, that was a challenge. A lot of the brothers that show up, they didn't really care nothing about it. They couldn't have cared less about the Word of God. They just wanted it on their resume.
Resume?
Resume. You had brothers in there that had done some real bad shit, and they wasn't sorry about a damn thing except getting caught. Of course, the funny thing was, a lot of them did believe in God, maybe even more than these folks here on the outside. I know I did. You might want to think about that, Professor.
I think I'd better go.
You'll need to go, Professor. What am I going to do? You leave me sitting here by myself.
You don't need me. You just don't want to feel responsible if anything happens to me.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I just need to go.
Just stay a while. This place has got to be more cheerful than your own.
I don't think you have any idea how strange it is for me to be here.
I think I got some idea.
I have to go.
Let me ask you something.
All right.
You ever had one of them days when things was just sort of weird all the way around? When things just kind of fell into place?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Just one of them days. Just kind of magic. One of them days when everything turns out right.
I don't know maybe why.
I just wondered if maybe it ain't been kindly a long dry spell for you until you finally took up with the notion that that's the way the world is.
The way the world is?
Yeah.
And how is that?
I don't know. Long and dry. The point is that even if it might seem that way to you, you still got to understand that the sun don't shine up the same dog's ass every day. You understand what I'm saying?
If what you're saying is that I'm simply having a bad day, that's ridiculous.
I don't think you're having a bad day, Professor. I think you're having a bad life.
You think I should change my life?
What, are you shitting me?
I have to go.
You could hang with me here a little while longer.
What about my jailhouse story?
You don't need to hear no jailhouse story.
Why not?
Well, you're kind of suspicious about everything. You think I'm fixing to put you in the trick bag.
And you're not.
Oh, no, I am. I just don't want you to know about it.
Well, in any case, I need to go.
You know you ain't ready to hit the street.
I have to.
I know you ain't got nothing you got to do.
And how do you know that?
Because you ain't even supposed to be here.
I see your point.
What if I was to tell you a jailhouse story? You stayed in?
All right, I'll stay for a while.
My man, all right. Here's my jailhouse story.
Is it a true story?
Oh, yeah. It's a true story. I don't know no other kind.
All right.
All right. I'm in the chow line and I'm getting my chow. And this nigga in the line behind me gets into it with the server. Says his beans is cold and he throws the ladle down in the beans. And when he done that, there was beans splashed on me. Well, I wasn't gonna get into it over some beans, but it did piss me off some. I just put on a clean suit. You know, khakis, shirt, and trousers, and you only got two a week. And I did say something to him like, hey, man, watch it, or something like that. But I went on, and I'm thinking, just let it go. Let it go. And then this dude says something to me. And I turn and look back at him, and when I done that, he stuck a knife in me. I never even seen it. And the blood is just flying, and this ain't no jailhouse shiv, neither. It's one of them Italian switchblades, one of them black and silver jobs. And I didn't do a thing in the world but duck and step under the rail, and I reached and got hold of a leg of this table, and it come off in my hand just as easy. And it's got this big, long screw sticking out of the end of it. And I went to wailing on this nigga's head, and I didn't quit. I beat on it till you couldn't hardly tell it was a head. And that screw would stick in his head, and I'd have to stand on him to pull it out again.
What did he say?
What did he say?
I mean, in the line, what did he say?
I ain't going to repeat it.
That doesn't seem fair.
Don't seem fair?
No.
Well, here I'm telling you a bona fide blood and guts tale from the big house. The genuine article. And I can't get you to fill in the blanks about what this nigga said?
Do you have to use that word?
Use that word?
Yes.
We ain't making much progress here, is we?
It just seems unnecessary.
You don't want to hear nigga, but you about to bail out on me on account of I won't tell you some terrible shit the nigga said? You sure about this?
I just don't see why you have to say that word.
Well, it's my story, ain't it? Anyway, I don't remember there being no Afro-Americans or persons of color. To the best of my recollection, it was just a bunch of niggas.
Go ahead.
Well, at some point, I had pulled a knife out, and I reckon I'd done dropped it to the floor. I'm wailing on this nigga's head, and all the time I'm doing that, his buddy has got hold of me from behind. But I'm holding on to the rail with one hand, and I ain't going nowhere. Of course, what I don't know is that this other dude has picked up the knife, and he's trying to gut me with it. I finally felt the blood. Then I turned around and busted him in the head, and he went skittering off across the floor. And by now, they done pushed the button, and the alarm is going, and everybody's down on the floor, and we're in lockdown, and the guard up on the tier has got a shotgun pointed at me, and he hollers at me to put down my weapon and get on the floor. And he's about to shoot me when the lieutenant comes in and hollers at him to hold his fire, and he tells me to throw that club down. And I looked around, and I'm the only one standing. I seen the nigga's feet sticking out from under the serving counter where he'd crawl, so I throwed the thing down, and I don't remember much after that. They told me I lost about half my blood. I remember slipping around in it, but I thought it was this other dude's.
That's quite a story.
Yeah. That's really just the introduction to the actual story.
Did the man die?
No, he didn't. Everybody lived. They thought he was dead, but he wasn't. He was never right after that, so I never had no more trouble out of him. He was missing an eye, and he walked around with his head sort of sideways and one arm hanging down. Couldn't talk right. They finally shipped him off to another facility.
But that's not the whole story.
No, it ain't.
So what happened?
I woke up in the infirmary. They had done operated on me. My spleen was cut open. Liver, I don't know what all. I come pretty close to dying. And I had 280 stitches holding me together. And I was hurting. I didn't know you could hurt that bad. And still, they got me in leg irons and got me handcuffed to the bed, if you can believe that. And I'm laying there. And I hear this voice, just as clear. Couldn't have been no clear. And this voice says, "If it was not for the grace of God, you would not be here." Man, I tried to raise up and look around, but of course I couldn't move. Wasn't no need to anyways. There wasn't nobody there. I mean, there was somebody there, all right. But there wasn't no use of me looking around to see if I could see him.
You don't think this is a strange kind of story?
I do think it's a strange kind of story.
What I mean is that you didn't feel sorry for this man.
You're getting ahead of the story.
The story of how a fellow prisoner became a crippled, one-eyed half-wit so that you could find God.
Whoa.
Well, isn't it?
I don't know.
You hadn't thought of it that way.
Oh, I thought of it that way.
And?
And what?
Isn't that the real story?
Well, I don't want to get on the wrong side of you. You seem to have a powerful wish for that to be the real story. So I will say that that is certainly one way to look at it. I got to concede that. I got to keep you interested.
String me along.
That okay with you?
And then put me in the, what was it, the trick bag.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to remember, this is a jailhouse story.
All right.
Which you specifically asked for.
All right. The point
is, Professor, that I ain't got the first notion in the world about what makes God tick. I don't know why he spoke to me. I wouldn't have.
But you listened.
Well, what choice would you have?
I don't know. Not listen.
How you gonna do that?
Just don't listen.
Do you think he goes around talking to people that he knows ain't going to listen in the first place? You think he's got that kind of free time?
I see your point.
If he didn't know I was ready to listen, he wouldn't have said a word.
He's an opportunist.
Meaning, I guess, that he's seen somebody in a place low enough to where he ought to be ready to take a pretty big step.
Something like that.
And you think that maybe I think that you might be in something like that kind of a place your own self.
Could be.
Well, I can dig that. I can dig it. Of course, there is one small problem.
And that is?
I ain't God.
I am glad to hear you say that.
It comes as a relief to me, too.
Did you used to think you were God?
No, I didn't. I didn't know what I was. But I thought I was in charge. I never knowed what that burden weighed till I put it down. That might have been the sweetest thing of all, to just hand over the keys.
Let me ask you something.
Ask it.
Why can't you people just accept it that some people don't even want to believe in God?
I accept that.
You do?
Sure I do. Meaning that I believe it to be a fact. I'm looking at it every day. I better accept it.
Then why can't you leave us alone?
To do your own thing.
Yes.
Hanging from them steam pipes and all.
If that's what we want to do, yes.
'Cause he said not to. It's in here.
The professor shakes his head.
I guess you don't want to be happy.
Happy?
Yeah. What's wrong with happy?
God help us.
What? We done opened a can of worms here. What you got against being happy?
It's contrary to the human condition.
Well, it's contrary to your condition. I gotta agree with that.
Happy? This is ridiculous.
Like there ain't no such a thing?
No.
Not for nobody?
No.
How are we getting such a fix as this?
We were born in such a fix as this. Suffering and human destiny are the same thing. Each is a description of the other.
We ain't talking about suffering. We talking about being happy.
Well, you can't be happy if you're in pain.
Why not?
You're not making any sense.
Oh, them is some hard words from the professor. The preacher has fell back. He's clutching his heart. Eyes is rolled back in his head. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, folks. His eyes is blinking. I think he's coming back. I think he's coming back. The point, Professor, is that if you didn't have no pain in your life, then how would you even know you was happy? As compared to what?
You don't have anything to drink around here, do you?
No, Professor, I ain't. You drinking, man?
Are we about to get a temperance lecture?
Not from me.
It's been a difficult day. I take it you don't drink?
I don't. I have done my share of it in my time.
Are you in AA?
No. No AA. I just quit. I've had lots of friends was drinkers. Most of them, for that matter. Most of them dead, too.
From drinking?
Well, from drinking or from reasons that don't get too far from drinking. Not too long ago, I had a friend to get run down by a taxi cab. Now, where do you reckon he was going? Drunk.
I don't know. Where was he going?
Going out to more whiskey. Had plenty at the house. But a drunk is always afraid of running out.
Was he killed?
I hope so. We buried him.
I suppose there's a moral to this story.
Well, it's just a story about what you want and what you get. Pain and happiness. I'll tell you another one.
All right.
One Sunday, there's a bunch of us sitting around at my house drinking. Sunday morning. Favorite time for drunks to get together and drink, and I'll let you think about why that might be so. Well, here come one of my buddies with this girl, Evelyn. And Evelyn was drunk when she got there, but we fixed her a drink, and directly, Reg, my buddy, he goes back in the kitchen to get him a drink, only now the bottle's gone. Well, Reg has been around a few drinking people in his time, so he commences to hunt for the bottle. Looks in all the cabinets and behind everything. He can't find it, but of course he knows what's happened to it, so he comes back in and he sits down and he looks at Miss Evelyn sitting there on the sofa, drunk as a goat. And he says, "Evelyn, where's the whiskey?" And Evelyn, she goes, "Agaga babalala gaga." And he says, "Evelyn, where did you put the whiskey?" "Alala blaga blaba." And Reg is sitting there, and this is beginning to piss him off just a little, and he gets in her face, and he goes, "Alala blaba gaga blaba." And she says, "I hid it in the toilet."
That's pretty funny.
I thought you might like that.
And is that where the whiskey was?
Oh, yeah. That's a favorite place for drunks to hide a bottle. But the point, of course, is that the drunk's concern ain't that he's going to die from drinking, which he is. It's that he's going to run out of whiskey before he gets a chance to do it. Are you hungry? I can go back to this. I ain't going to lose my place.
I'm all right. Go ahead.
If you was to hand a drunk a drink and tell him he really don't want it, what do you reckon he'd say?
I think I know what he'd say.
Sure you do. But you'd still be right.
About him not really wanting it.
Yes. Because what he really wants, he can't get. Or he thinks he can't get it. So what he really don't want, he can't get enough of.
So what is it that he really wants?
You know what he really wants.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. What?
You a hard case, Professor.
You're not exactly a day at the beach yourself.
You don't know what he wants.
No, I do not.
He wants what everybody wants.
And that is?
He wants to be loved by God.
I don't want to be loved by God.
I love that. See how you cut right to it? He don't either. According to him, he just wants a drink of whiskey. You a smart man, Professor. You tell me which one makes sense and which one don't.
I don't want a drink of whiskey either.
I thought you just got done asking for one.
I mean as a general proposition.
We ain't talking about no general propositions. We talking about a drink.
I don't have a drinking problem.
Well, you got some kind of a problem.
Well, whatever kind of a problem I have is not something that I imagine can be addressed with a drink of liquor.
I love the way you put that. So what can it be addressed with?
I think you know what it can be addressed with.
The Sunset Limited.
Yes.
And that's what you want.
That's what I want, yes.
That's a mighty big drink of whiskey, Professor.
That I don't really want.
That you don't really want, yes.
Well, I think I do want it.
Of course you do, honey. If you didn't, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Well, I disagree with you.
That's all right. That's the hand I'm playing.
I don't think you understand that people such as myself see a yearning for God as something lacking in those people.
I do understand that. Couldn't agree more.
You agree with that?
Sure I do. What's lacking is God.
Well, as I say, we'll just have to disagree.
You ain't closing down the forum for discussion, are you?
Not at this juncture.
Because I had a little more to say.
How did I know that?
I did go to one or two AA meetings. A lot of folks didn't like the God part of it all that much, but I hadn't sat there too long before I figured out that the God part was really all the part there was. The problem wasn't that there was too much God in AA. It was that there wasn't enough. And I got a pretty thick head about some things, but I finally figured out that what was true about AA was probably true about a lot of other things, too.
Well, I'm sorry, but to me, the whole idea of God is just a load of crap.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, save us. Jesus, the professor's done blasphemed all over us. We ain't never gonna be saved now.
You don't find that an evil thing to say?
Oh, mercy. No, Professor, I don't. But you do.
No, I don't. It's simply a fact.
No, it ain't no simply a fact. It's the biggest fact about you. It's just about the only fact.
But you don't seem to think that it's so bad.
Well, I know it to be curable. So it ain't that bad. If you're talking about what that man up there thinks about it, I figure he's probably seen enough of it that it don't bother him as bad as you might think. I mean, what if somebody told you that you didn't exist and you sitting there listening to him say it? That wouldn't really piss you off, would it?
No, you just feel sorry for them.
I think that's right. You might even try to get some help for him. Now, in my case, he had to holler at me out loud, and me laying on a slab in two pieces that they'd sewed back together where some nigga done tried to core me like an apple, but still, I got to say that if God is God, then he can speak to your heart at any time, and furthermore, I got to say that if he spoke to me, which he did, then he can speak to anybody.
The black drums his fingers lightly three times on the table and looks at the professor.
Well, wonder what this crazy nigga fixing to do. He liable to put the mojo on me. Be speaking in tongues here directly. I better get my ass out of here. He liable to try and steal my pocketbook. Need to get my ass down to the train depot before something happened to me. What are we going to do with you, Professor?
I need to go.
I thought you was going to stay and visit with me some.
Look, I know I owe you a good deal, in the eyes of the world at least. Can't I just give you something and we'll call it square? I could give you some money, something like that.
The black studies him. He doesn't answer.
I could give you $1,000. Well, that's not very much, I guess. I could give you $3,000, say.
You don't have no notion of trouble you in, do you?
I don't know what you mean.
I know you don't.
I'd just like to settle this some way.
It ain't me you got to settle with.
Do you really believe I was sent to you by God?
Oh, it's worse than that.
How do you mean?
Belief ain't like unbelief. If you a believer, then you got to come finally to the well of belief itself, and then you don't have to look no further. There ain't no further. But the unbeliever has got a problem. He has to set out to unravel the world. But everything he can point to that ain't true leaves two new things laying there. If God walked the earth when he got done making it, then when you get up in the morning, you get to put your feet on the real floor and you don't have to worry about where it come from. But if he didn't, then you got to come up with a whole other description of what you even mean by real. And you got to judge everything by that same light, if light it is, including yourself. One question fits all. So what do you think, Professor? Is you real?
I'm not buying it.
That's all right. It's been on the market a long time, and it'll be there for a while yet.
You believe everything that's in there in the Bible?
The literal truth?
Yes.
Probably not. But then you already know I'm an outlaw.
What is it you would disagree with?
Maybe the notion of original sin. When Eve ate the apple and it turned everybody bad. I don't see people that way. I think for the most part, people are good to start with. I think evil is something you bring on your own self. Mostly from wanting what you ain't supposed to have. But I ain't going to sit here and tell you about me being a heretic when I'm trying to get you to quit being one.
Are you a heretic?
You're trying to put me in the trick bag, Professor.
No, I'm not. Are you?
No more than what a man should be. Even a man with a powerful belief. I ain't a doubter, but I am a questioner.
What's the difference?
Well, I think the questioner wants the truth. The doubter wants to be told there ain't no such thing.
You don't think you have to believe everything in there in order to be saved?
No, I don't. I don't think you even have to read it. I ain't for sure you even got to know there is such a book. I think whatever truth is wrote in these pages is wrote in the human heart, too. And it was wrote there a long time ago and will still be wrote there a long time hence. Even if this book is burned, every copy of it. What Jesus said, I don't think he made up a word of it. I think he just told it. This book is a guide for the ignorant and the sick at heart. A whole man wouldn't need it at all. And of course, if you read this book, you're going to find that there's a lot more talk in here about the wrong way than there is about the right way. Now, why is that?
I don't know. Why is it?
I'd rather hear from you.
I'll have to think about it.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Okay, go ahead and think about it.
It might take me a little longer than you to think about something.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Yes. I mean, there's two ways you can take that remark, but I'm going to take it the good way. It's just my nature. That way, I get to live in my world instead of yours.
What makes you think mine's so bad?
Oh, I don't know as it's so bad. I know it's brief.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I think the answer to your question is that the dialectic of the homily always presupposes a ground of evil.
Man.
How's that?
That's strong as a mare's breath, Professor. Wouldn't I love to lay some of that shit on the brothers? Whoa! Now, just the two of us here talking in private. What did you just say?
Your question. The Bible is full of cautionary tales, all of literature for that matter, telling us to be careful. Careful of what? Taking a wrong turn, a wrong path. How many wrong paths are there? Their number is legion. How many right paths? Only one. Hence the imbalance you spoke of.
Man, I tell you what, Professor, you could go on television. Good-looking man such as yourself. Did you know that?
Stop.
I'm serious. I wasn't even all that sure you was a professor till you laid that shit on me.
I think you're having fun at my expense.
Ain't done no such thing, Professor.
Well, I think you are.
Honey, I swear I ain't. I couldn't say a thing like you just got done saying. I admire that.
And why do you keep calling me honey?
That's just the old South talking. There ain't nothing wrong with it. I'll try and quit if it bothers you.
I'm just not sure what it means.
It means you're among friends. It means quit worrying about everything.
That might be easier said than done.
Well, yes, it might. But we're just talking here. Just talking.
What else?
What else what?
Any other heresies?
At this juncture?
At this juncture, yes.
Yeah, but I ain't telling you.
Why not?
Because I ain't. Shouldn't have told you what I did.
Why not?
You sitting here at my table dead to God as the fallen angels, and you waiting on me to lay another heresy on you to clutch to your bosom and help shore you up in your infidelity, and I ain't gonna do that, that's all.
Don't then.
Don't worry, I ain't.
I have to go.
Every time the dozens gets a little heavy, you got to go.
What's the dozens?
It ain't really even the dozens. It's really just a discussion.
What's the dozens?
It's when two of the brothers stands around and insult one another, and the first one gets pissed off, loses.
What's the point of it?
Winning and losing is the point of it. Same as the point of everything else.
And you win by making the other guy angry.
That's correct.
I don't get it.
You ain't supposed to get it. You white.
Then why did you tell me?
'Cause you asked me.
So if I find you a bit irritating and decide to leave, then I lose.
Well, like I said, this ain't even the dozens. We just talking.
But that's what you think.
Oh, yeah. That's what I think.
Well, how long do you think I might have to stay before I could leave without losing?
That's kind of hard to say. I guess the best way to put it might be that you'd have to stay till you didn't want to leave.
Stay till I didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
And then I could leave.
Yeah.
The professor runs one hand alongside his head and then holds the back of his neck, his head down and his eyes closed. He looks up.
Why is it called the dozens?
Don't know.
What sort of insults?
Oh, you might say something about the other man's mama. That's a sensitive area, you might say. And he might lose it and come after your ass. But when he done that, it's like he's saying that what you just got done telling about his mama was true. It's like he's saying, you ain't supposed to know that about my mama, and you damn sure ain't supposed to told of it, and now I'm fixing to whip your ass. You see what I'm saying?
I suppose.
Well, probably not.
And this is something you do with your friends?
Me? No. I don't play the dozen.
Tell me something.
Sure.
Why are you here? What do you get out of this? You seem like a smart man.
Me? I'm just a dumb country nigga from Louisiana. I done told you. I ain't never had the first thought in my head.
He holds the Bible up off the table and lays it down again.
If it ain't in here, then I don't know it.
Half the time I think you're having fun with me. I don't see how you can live here. I don't see how you can feel safe.
Well, you got a point, Professor. About being safe, anyway.
Have you ever stopped any of these people from taking drugs?
Not that I know of.
Then what is the point? I don't get it. I mean, it's hopeless. This place is just a moral leper colony.
Damn, Professor? Moral leper colony? Where my pencil at?
Well, it is.
I ain't never going to want you to leave. Put that in my book.
In your book?
In the moral leper colony. Damn, I like the sound of that.
You're kidding me.
You know I ain't writing no book.
Well, I still don't get it. Why not go someplace where you might be able to do some good?
As opposed to someplace where good was needed.
Even God gives up at some point. There is no ministry in hell that I ever heard of.
No, there ain't. That's well put. Ministry is for the living. That's why you're responsible for your brother. Once he's quit breathing, you can't help him no more. After that, he's in the hands of other parties. So you got to look after him now. You might even want to monitor his train schedule.
You think you are your brother's keeper?
I don't believe think quite says it.
And Jesus is a part of this enterprise.
Is that okay with you?
And he's interested in coming here to this cesspool and salvaging what everybody knows is unsalvageable. Why would he do that? You said he didn't have a lot of free time.